fire on the earth. Our Holy Father has said the church is missionary by her very nature. The church exists to evangelize. He's called for a new springtime of evangelization. To help us obtain the tools each of us needs to answer the church's call, this is Fire on the Earth. Here is our host, Peter Herbeck.
Good morning, friends. And today I'd like to walk us through the day of Pentecost. We're going to be celebrating this weekend the Feast of Pentecost. That is the gift of the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, the promised Holy Spirit that you can go all the way back to the prophets of the Old Testament, Ezekiel, Jeremiah, and others, who said the day is coming when God will pour out his Spirit on all flesh. He'll give us hearts of flesh. He'll pour his Spirit into us. At the beginning of the Acts of the Apostles, the account really begins with the last scene with Jesus and his apostles before Jesus ascends to the right hand of the Father. Jesus tells the apostles that John baptized with water, but I will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. The purpose Jesus came, and we can never forget this, that people do, like they look at Jesus like he's a kind of political leader or a prophet, and that he came to just help us see clearly and to get us to behave differently. Now, there's some truth to part of that. I mean, he does make it possible for us to behave differently, but he came to fix what is unfixable from a human point of view. He came to deal with a problem that absolutely had to be solved, dealing with the problem of sin and death, which if you haven't had a chance to tune in this week to the program, I'd encourage you to go to the programs Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday as well, where I just talk about what is it that Jesus accomplished for us. And so all that Jesus did comes to this point. He took on human flesh, and when he became one of us, born of Mary, what happened in Jesus is the life of heaven is united to human flesh, to human heart. That's the beginning of the work of salvation for us in Jesus' coming, in the incarnation. And then his dying on the cross dealt with the sin that separates us from God. He becomes a sacrifice for our sin. He cleanses us from sin. His rising from the dead, in his own person, humanity passes from death to life. He ascends to the right hand of the Father, and he enters glory, the glorious presence of God, what we were made for. Yes, believe it, friend, you were made for that. You weren't made to become food for worms. You were made ultimately to live with God in eternal happiness forever. Jesus is the one now who makes and blazes the new trail. He's the beginning of the new thing that God is doing, the new creation, the work of salvation. And then he pours it. It's in him. This work of God, this power of the Holy Spirit is present in Jesus, and Jesus pours out his Spirit, beginning with the apostles on the day of Pentecost, making it possible for human beings to share in what belongs to him. So Jesus said, John baptized with water, but in a few days you would baptize with the Holy Spirit. He told the apostles to wait for him. He said, you will receive power. This is verse 8, chapter 1 of Acts. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses. Jesus is going to pour out the power that belongs to him, the power that raised him from the dead. And so the apostles are waiting in the upper room on the day of Pentecost. And it says, when the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each one of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now there were staying in Jerusalem God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment because each one heard them speaking in his own language. That was the miracle that day of the gift of tongues as the apostles began to speak to people that didn't understand. They literally heard the apostles speaking in their own language. The apostles are preaching. And as they're preaching, people hear it in their own language. Utterly amazed, they asked, are not all these men who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hears them in his own native language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, Egypt, other parts of Libya near Cyrene, Cretans, Arabs. We hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues. astounding miracle. There's a lot to the story. I don't want to explain it all, but it's tied to the Tower of Babel. When man tries to, you know, build a tower up to heaven by his own power, what ends up happening is God scrambles it, and we can't understand each other. They couldn't understand each other. Jesus now, who God brings his kingdom, and God speaks a word, and everybody can hear it, and he speaks it through the apostles. They were amazed and perplexed, and they asked one another, what does this mean? Some, however, made fun of them and said they've had too much wine. And now we get to Peter's understanding and interpretation of what happened. Then Peter stood up with the 11. He raised his voice and he addressed the crowd. Fellow Jews, and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. These men are not drunk, as you suppose. It's only 9 in the morning. No, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. So he's going back, he's speaking to Jewish people, he's going back to what the prophet Joel, Jewish prophet said, in the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people, on all flesh. Your sons and daughters will prophesy, your young men will see visions, and your old men will dream dreams. And he goes on to explain that prophecy from Joel. But he's saying to them, these are the last days. These are the days, the final stage of human history, when God's action of saving his people goes forward, and it happens by God pouring out his spirit, not just on one king or on a unique prophet, but on all flesh. God saves his people. So Peter goes on. Then he begins to preach. He says, men of Israel, listen to this. Jesus of Nazareth was a man accredited by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs, which God did among you through him, as you yourselves know. So Peter said, you remember this man, Jesus of Nazareth? You saw him. He worked miracles, signs, and wonders. He raised people from the dead. He gave sight to the blind. The crippled walked. He forgave sins. He did all these things. And Peter said, God was testifying that this was his chosen one. This was his son, because he taught with authority like no one ever taught. And he did these works that we've never seen before. Verse 23, this man was handed over to you by God's set purpose and foreknowledge. And you, with the help of wicked men, put him to death by nailing him to a cross. So he said, this man from Nazareth, God permitted this to happen. He gave them over to you and to wicked men. And what did you do? You crucified him. But Peter said, this is what we want to tell you. This is verse 24. But God raised him from the dead, freeing him from the agony of death, because it was impossible for death to keep him down, for death to hold him down. And then he goes on to talk about quoting the Old Testament, talking about King David. And he picks up the preaching just for time's sake. I want to go a little further on. But what he does is he talks about how it's the fulfillment as well of promises to King David and others. I want to go to verse 30. He said, but he was a prophet and knew that God had promised him on oath that he would place one of his descendants on the throne. That is, God promised David that he would set one of his descendants on his throne and that he would rule forever. And he's saying, this is the one that's going to fulfill that promise, Jesus Christ. And how does he fulfill it? Peter goes on to say, seeing what was ahead, he spoke of the resurrection of Christ, that he was not abandoned to the grave, nor did his body see decay. But instead, God raised this Jesus to life. And we are all witnesses of this fact. There's the heart of what the apostles proclaimed that first day under the anointing of the Holy Spirit. God raised this Jesus to life, and we are all witnesses of this fact. Exalted at the right hand of God, he has received from the Father the promised Holy Spirit, and he's poured it out, what you now see and hear. So Peter's explaining to them, he said, I read a few minutes ago, these people are not drunk. There's nothing wrong with them. What you're seeing is the fulfillment of the prophetic word of our own prophets, that God would pour out his spirit on all flesh. And the Holy Spirit has been poured out. And now we see and we know and we proclaim to you what God has done in Christ. He's raised him to life, and now he's exalted at the right hand of God. And as the exalted one, as the head of a new race of people, as the firstborn from the dead, the second Adam, Jesus Christ, has within his authority and power, has received the gift of the Spirit from the Father. And Peter said, what you're seeing is that this promise of the Father, this gift of the Holy Spirit, is being poured out. That's what you see, and that's what you hear. That's the meaning of all of this. It's Jesus alive. It's Jesus reigning in power. It's Jesus beginning the new creation. It's Jesus extending his radically new life and existence to all flesh. He's pouring it out now. This is the beginning of God's saving action. He goes on, verse 34, "For David did not ascend to heaven, and yet he said, 'The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make all your enemies the footstool of your feet.' Therefore," Peter said, "let all Israel be assured of this." Here's the nugget. Here's the core. God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, Lord and Christ. Friends, if you want to know what's the central message of Christianity, that's it. Sometimes people say the central message of Christianity is the Beatitudes, or it's the Lord's Prayer, or it's all those things are of the highest significance. They're very important. But everything starts here in what's called the kerygma. This is the message that the church was born with. This message, you know, faith comes through hearing, Scripture said, and what's heard is the word of God. And this is the message that was heard. It begins with the facts of salvation, what God has done for us, not what we're supposed to do for God. It begins with the reality of what God has done to open heaven and to save the human race, one heart at a time. Let me read that again, verse 36, chapter 2. Of the Acts of the Apostles. "Therefore, let all Israel be assured of this. God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ." When the people heard this, it says they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the other apostles, "Brothers, what should we do? Given the fact that this actually happened, that Jesus is at the right hand of the Father, that he's pouring out his Spirit now, what do we do?" They were cut to the heart because the Holy Spirit that launched the apostles to preach this word was acting not only in Peter and the apostles, but he was acting in the hearer and shedding his light in their heart so they could hear the word of God and respond to it. Verse 38, this is how Peter replied. He said, "Repent, be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. And you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and for your children, for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call." Isn't that beautiful? Maybe you're hearing this today. You haven't been baptized. Maybe you're hearing this for the first time. This is a gift God wants to give to you. Repent means change your life. Turn to God. Believe in Jesus Christ, his teaching, and his saving acts. Repent. That is, turn away from your sin, acknowledge the fact that you haven't obeyed God and followed him and you're in need of salvation, and be baptized. Go knock on the door of a Catholic church and ask a pastor. Say you want to talk to a priest or someone there to hear more about this Jesus, because you too want to be baptized and to receive the new life that's in him so that your sins can be forgiven. And it says you'll receive the gift of the Holy Spirit too, just like the apostles. The promise is for you. And he goes on in verse 40. "With many other words, he warned them and he pleaded with them, 'Save yourselves from this crooked generation.' Those who accepted his message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number that day." May each one of us be added. God bless you. Have a great day.
This has been Fire on the Earth. It's heard here Monday through Friday at this time. Our host has been Peter Herbeck, Vice President of Missions at Renewal Ministries. You can contact Peter or listen again to this program on the web at renewalministries.net. Fire on the Earth is brought to you by Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you my new booklet, Light in the Darkness. We're living in difficult, unsettling, and even dark times. We're engaged in a spiritual battle that is intensifying. I wrote this short booklet to help you understand the nature of the battle we're facing and help you lay hold of God's abundant grace for you in these challenging times. If you'd like a free copy of my new booklet, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or contact us on the web at renewalministries.net.